Good morning. Man, well, I'm looking around the room. I was fixing to say it's really good to see you, and I was seeing if there was a couple that I wanted to exclude from that. No, it's good to see all of you. It's good to see all of you. Glad that you are here. Just FYI, at the end of the service, I will show you my scars for $5 a head. $5 a head. You got what? Oh, everybody, you got your own. Maybe you could get $5. Glad that you are here. I am really glad to be here. It's one thing that live stream is great, but it's not like being here. So I'm glad I'm back. It's good to have you guys here with us, and I also want to welcome our live stream. And I'm glad we have the live stream, but when you can, come be with us. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we exalt your holy name. You are the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You're the Prince of peace. You're the God of all comfort. You're our Savior. You're our friend. And we ask that you would come and inhabit this place today. We pray that our words would please you, our hearts would please you, our songs would please you. Father, thank you so much for this group of people that you've assembled. And we call ourselves Wiley Methodist Church, but God, we are really your people. We are your bride. So come and stir our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Rise if you're able as we praise him.
From the depths of our hearts with all that we are to give our very best offering of praise to the Lord this morning. Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety.
What freedom feels like. This is what it is.
side. God is for you. This morning, we're thankful that because of the grace of God, we've seen the light. I want y'all to clap, be joyful, sing along, maybe move your feet if that's your thing, if you got some rhythm. If you don't, that's all right. We're going to praise with all we are. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Well, then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Well, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like the blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I think for my own. Then like the blind man that died by his side. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a round of applause this morning. All right, you may be seated. Children, at this time, come forward for your children's message.
I love that you brought your Bible with you. Good morning. It's always so good to be with you Sunday mornings. Welcome, welcome. Come, have a seat. All right. This morning, I am going to start with this. All right, we're not going to fight. We're really not going to fight. However, I was wondering who had the smallest hand. Who had? No, you don't have the smallest hand. All right, you come here. Come here. All right, try to open my fist. Open it. Open up. You can't open it. Okay, have a seat. Oh, why do you think he couldn't open my fist? His hand was a lot smaller than mine. Yeah. Yeah, so what I want to point out to you is in John chapter 10, verse 29, it says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." No one, absolutely no one, can snatch us out of God's hand once he has us. Once we have placed ourselves in God's hand, no one can get us out. We are there. Now, I didn't want you just to choose a small hand just because I'm afraid that someone could actually open my hand. But I wanted the size difference, because have you ever thought how big is God's hand? God's hand must be huge, and he has us in it. Can you conceive? I then thought of Psalms 8:3, where we are are told that his fingers created all the stars and moon and the things that we see in the heavens above. His fingers created stars and moons. How big is that hand? This hand that God has us in, we are safe in his hand. We can trust that we are protected in him. Nothing in this world can snatch us out of God's hand. We are safe and secure in God's holy, mighty, powerful hand. We are truly safe and secure in his hand. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful that you hold each and every one of us in your hand. With this powerful truth, we know that we are safe and secure of all the forces in this world that may try to pull us away from you. In your mighty Son's name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. What about this weather? Good. Thumbs up, everybody. Told the early service I could tolerate a cold front once a week for the rest of the summer. I think I'd be fine. I'd be happy. If you want to register your attendance with us through the app, you can do that. If you do not have our Wiley Methodist app, you can download that from your app store. Do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene, and you will find it there. We do lots of communication through the app and our website. I want to highlight a couple things coming up. Next Sunday will be a student-led Sunday. They will lead both services, worship, prayer, children's sermon, the sermon itself. Shauna Johnson is going to preach next Sunday. That'll be good. So come and be blessed. Also, next Sunday from 9 to 10:30, our pastor will be hosting a discovery class on the second floor, room 208. And that's for someone who may be new to our fellowship that wants to know more about our ministries or perhaps our theological stances on some things. So you can meet our pastor, second floor, room 208, next Sunday morning from 9 to 10:30. So let's stand, and if you're able, let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I want to remind you on Sunday mornings that we have people available for prayer anytime you're in the building, and they'll be identified with prayer team tags. Also, a reminder again that we will have people here after the service to pray if you need prayer for anything. I want to give you an update on the house that we were taking donations for Domingo and Margaret Rodriguez. If you're not familiar with their story, if you may be newer to the church, we have a ministry house that's connected with Houses for Healing. It's a tiny house where we people come and they'll stay for free if they're in Abilene for medical treatments, and we minister to them, give them food, all the food they can eat until they tell us to stop, transportation if they need transportation, and we just want them to be loved on when they're in Abilene. Well, Domingo and Margaret came from Stanford, I guess maybe 3 months ago, and their story: Margaret's going through a cancer struggle, and she's doing well. Also, during that transition time, their house burned and they lost an adult son in the fire. And so we've just been loving on this family, and we really felt like we need to try to get them back in a home. They lived in a modular home. And so Jeff put out an email, I guess maybe a month ago, and asking for donations. We really thought God wanted to pursue this, and I talked to Domingo about it. And I said, look, we've got some funds, but the church has some ministry funds. If you can maybe take on a small mortgage. And he said, yeah, I can do that. He was pre-approved. And so the church began to raise funds, and we met our goal. And so we're able to get this family in a brand new, fully furnished home for nothing, debt-free, no mortgage. And so thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I told Domingo, they're here this morning. I told him, I don't want to embarrass you guys. Can I announce this? He said, absolutely. We want to rejoice in what God's doing. And Jesus loves y'all so much. He allows us to love you with that love that he's given us. So we want to praise God for that. Their home will be delivered between July 1st and 15th. And so they'll be with us for a couple, two or three more weeks maybe, and then transition to maybe Paint Creek, stay there for a month, and then to the lot where this home will be first to mid-July. So thank the Lord for that. As we pray this morning, I want our prayer focus to be the fire situation west of town, praying for the fire victims that lost property, livestock, firefighters, law enforcement, personnel. And what a great opportunity for revival to break out in that area. So let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for your provision for us. Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. And Lord, you can shift resources any direction you want to. And we're astounded at what you've done for this family, for the Rodriguez family. And we praise you for that. Father, I lift up those who were affected by the fire and maybe continue to be affected by the fire. It's not out. Lord, I pray for those who have lost their property, those who have lost livestock. God, I pray for peace and comfort to rest on them. Father, what a great opportunity for the body of Christ or the city of Abilene to rise up and bless those families. So, Lord, I just pray for something supernatural just to run through our community and other communities where they just have a heart for these people that are hurting. Lord, do something significant for them so that you will be revealed and you'll get the glory for it. I pray for the firefighters and law enforcement personnel. God, I pray for wisdom for them as far as where they need to place their equipment. I know they're fatigued. I pray for rest for them. I pray for replenishment of new reinforcements, Lord. They continue to make sure the fire is out. And Lord, I just thank you for the wind shift that happened sometime Wednesday night that pushed the fire away from Buffalo Gap, that pushed the fire away from our community. Father, you command and control nature. And we're going to give you the praise and glory for that. So as they can continue to work that area, God, I just pray for a total, complete extinguishment. Lord, and bless the people that are affected, Lord. Bless the servants who have been serving there as well. God, I thank you for touching our pastor. I thank you for allowing him to be with us this morning. And Lord, I pray for strength for him. Lord, I pray as he brings a word about healing of hearts, pray that you give us ears, Holy Spirit, to hear what the Father would have us to receive. Just do something phenomenal in our hearts this day, and we'll give you the praise for it. God, we thank you for opportunities to get together in Jesus' name, to encounter your goodness, to encounter your presence. And we declare that you're a good, good, good Father. Who wants good things for us. Reveal those to us this day so we'll know the Son better and know you better. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I remind you that we'll receive our offering at this time. If you have one you'd like to bring forward, you can do that. or you can give electronically.
Good morning. see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see that you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Encourage you to open up your heart fully to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you're in this place this morning, in your heart, your soul, deep who you are to the core, if you need healing this morning, it's in this place. And I believe the Lord is here to heal your heart this morning by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to encourage you, if that's who you are, if you need that healing deep in your soul, deep to the core of your being, I just want you to pour out with all the truth and honesty inside of you to say, God, heal my broken heart. Heal my broken spirit. Fill me with to the brim and overflowing with your Spirit, Lord. Let's cry out to Him this morning. You are here. You're touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. There's healing in this place. You are here. You're healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. Holy Amen and bless you.
Well, good morning again. I promise you, I could show off and get up on the stage, but I want to sit on the stool so that I'm not on my feet too long. You know, unfortunately, the doctor did not order me to cut the sermons in half, so he said, go for it. But when I'm on the stool behind the podium, you only see from here up, and I think you deserve the whole picture, man. So deserve is a funny word. It can mean a lot of things. You know, one of the things about sitting on a stool when I preach, y'all know I like to kind of move around a little bit. I don't think Brent and Billy are up to it. I was trying to get them to come and on each side, and if I said stage right, they'd move me over here. Stage left, they'd move me over here, but I don't think they're up to it. Amen. You're young, man. You're supposed to be in good shape. Well, I want to welcome our guests this morning. If you're wondering, it's like, what's all the hullabaloo about? Had double knee replacement. Tuesday will be 3 weeks out, so a little over 2.5 weeks out. Doing good. Cheryl's ready for me to get well. I'll say that. And I just want to thank you guys so much for the prayers. For many of you brought food and sent cards. And, you know, I think it was the week, it might have been 2 weeks before I had my surgery, I preached on temptation. And do y'all remember one of the things that I brought up that I was tempted by? Chips and salsa. Did you know 3 different people brought me chips and salsa? I'm not sure that was a blessing or a curse or what. I don't know. I'm not sure what was behind all that, but I did eat the chips and salsa. I will say that. Well, anyway, glad that you're here. I said it earlier, but I miss you guys. It's, I just feel, Cheryl and I we talk about this all the time, how who are we to be worthy for God to bless us with being a part of a church like this? You guys are awesome, just we love y'all so much. And you know, the live stream is a great tool. It's great that we have that when people can't make it, and I worshiped with y'all live stream, but it's just different to be here and see your smiling faces, so I love you. I'm glad to be back. Thank you to Billy for bringing the word, great word, for a couple of weeks there, and I appreciate him, and he was able to bless the poor family with the passing of Gracie while I was out, and that was difficult to not be there for that. But anyway, turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 5 is where we're going to be today. John chapter 5. Verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 colored colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. I want you to kind of grab hold of that for a second. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, "Do you want to get well?" And I told the early service, it's not in my Bible, it should be, but the response, I think, from the invalid should be, duh. But here's how he responded. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are absolutely indeed welcomed here. In fact, we desperately need you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is healer of hearts, healer of hearts. Now, this pool at Bethesda, several of us, I think there's about 14 of us back in, I think it was 2010, got to the blessing of going to Jerusalem, and we actually saw this pool of Bethesda that they had excavated in the late 1800s. And it's interesting that prior to that excavation, there was actually there were theologians and people that were trying to discredit God's word. They were basically saying, "Oh, that's a made up story. It's a made up pool. It's everything. It's just made up." Well, lo and behold, they dig it up, and it's just what's described here. There's remnants to this day. There's remnants of the five colonnades, and it's right by the sheep gate that there in the old city of Jerusalem. And so we actually got to see this, and it's interesting. I want to talk today some about physical healing, because God is in the physical healing business, but I want to even maybe go a little deeper and talk about the healing of our heart, our emotional and spiritual healing as well. The first thing I want us to know is that Jesus is, he always has been and he still is in the healing business. And I'm going to just jump right in. This story today, there's a pattern that kind of, that you can kind of see. Every time Jesus does something miraculous, every time he does some sort of a healing, this pattern kind of plays itself out. And the first part of that is Jesus seeks out the broken. In fact, he's drawn to the brokenness in us, broken people, broken circumstances. He's drawn to that. Here, this passage today, here at the Pool of Bethesda, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there. So he's making his way through the crowd, and Jesus sees this man lying there, and instinctively he knows the desperateness of his situation. He sees him lying there, and then he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. So Jesus is mindful of this person who has been paralyzed for 38 years. In Psalms 34, we hear, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So, again, Jesus is drawn to the broken. We don't have to come running after him, chasing him down. Jesus is drawn. It's, in fact, one of my favorite stories, I share this a lot of times at funerals, because I think the hope that we have in Christ is right there for us, but also the compassion of Christ is right there for us, the story of Lazarus. And in John 11, so Jesus is on his way to raise Lazarus from the dead. He's been dead for 4 days. And he knows what's getting ready to happen. He knows that this weeping, this grief that everyone is feeling will soon turn to rejoicing, because he knows the end of the story. And yet he meets up with Mary on the road as he's making his way back to Lazarus. And it says, "When Jesus saw Mary weeping," now there it is, that being drawn to the broken, "and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. That we need to understand that if we are broken, if we are carrying around this brokenness in us, Jesus has compassion for us. He draws near to the brokenhearted. He is drawn to the broken, and he seeks them out. Secondly, this pattern that we see, Jesus, first of all, he's drawn and he seeks out the broken, and secondly, Jesus offers healing. So he sees this paralytic lying there, and he asks that question. It's a strange question. We're going to unpack it a little bit more in just a moment, but he asks him that strange question, do you want to get well? I think he would ask that of us, not just physically, you know. And I said in the early service that, you know, someday when I meet the Lord face to face, I'm going to ask him, Lord, why did you seem to heal, physically heal some that we prayed for, and sometimes it didn't happen? I have seen medical documentation that's indisputable that Jesus heals physically. I've seen it. But I've also seen cases where we have prayed for something, for a physical healing, and it didn't happen. And I don't fully comprehend that. All I know is Jesus knows best. Jesus's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He understands, and we just have to trust him. That's when faith kicks in. But so Jesus is drawn to the brokenhearted, and he offers healing. And again, I want you to think of this beyond physical healing, but what the things that we carry inside of us that may even be more damaging to us than a physical ailment. Jesus said, this is one of my favorite passages, this shows the compassion of Jesus. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. As Jesus was preparing to launch his ministry, he quoted from Isaiah 61 this is kind of his scripture that launched his ministry. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, Jesus said. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's one of his main goals, is to seek out those who are broken, to bind them up, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. Do you see that God wants to do something in us, deep in us? He doesn't want us carrying around this wounded spirit within us. And I say this a lot, but you ever been around people that profess to be a Christian, and man, they're just, I kind of call it like a freeze-dried Christian. You ever been around a freeze-dried Christian? They claim Christ, but there's no joy. There's no joy. Jesus wants us to bestow on us the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted. He wants to comfort those who mourn. He's drawn to the broken because he wants to heal us from that brokenness. And then finally, number three, this pattern. The broken are restored and God is glorified. So he meets up with this person who's this disabled person who hasn't been able to walk for 38 years. And he asks him that question, do you want to get well? But he also said, when the man begins to make excuses, instead of saying, yeah, I want to get well, what do you think I'm here for? Instead of answering like that, he starts making excuses. Well, you know, I was trying to get into the water, and first of all, he's put his place in some bubbly water. That's the first mistake, instead of Christ. But I tried it when the water stirred, I tried to get in, and all these other faster people, they get in there first, and nobody will help me. And he's just making all the excuses for remaining in his brokenness. Is this on? Anybody relating to this? He's making excuses for why I'm a mess. And Jesus won't have any of it. He says, look, pick up your mat and walk. Get up. And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and he walked. And God received the glory when this man came face to face with this Jesus who was drawn to him, that wanted to heal him. He picked up his mat and he walked. Now, so here I want to, this is where I want us to kind of rest for just a minute. That question, do you want to get well? There's a couple that, and they're not of our church, I don't think anybody would know this couple, but Cheryl and I have been helping them some with marriage stuff. And the man had been unfaithful, had committed adultery, and serious stuff. Lots of divorces result from that sort of a situation. But this wife has stated she wants to work toward her marriage. The husband is repentant, and they're trying to work through it. The problem is we've been meeting with them for several weeks, and the problem is I'm not sure how she would answer that question. Do you want to get well? And I think a week or two before my surgery, we were talking to them, and this just came to me, and this is going to sound really harsh, but you'd have to have been there for the whole weeks of talking. But I asked her, I said, do you want to get well, or do you want to wallow? Uh-oh. And that doesn't mean that this is not serious stuff, and this doesn't mean that she shouldn't struggle and that she shouldn't grieve. And I told the artists, I want to make sure that you understand, I don't have my theological perspective on this is not get over it, you know, just trust Jesus and get over it. We're not just this, but anything. That's not where I'm at. Sometimes I'll have people, you know, who've lost a spouse or something, and they'll have people say, golly, it's been a year or two. You need to get over that. And that's just wrong, because grief is a strange thing, and we have to walk through it in our own way. But in this particular case, one of the things she wanted him to do is write down in detail all the stuff, the sins he had committed against her. Write it down and give it to her. And anytime she wants to, she can pull that out and she can just read through that over and over and over. And I'm like, man, and that's where I'm like, do you want to get well or do you want to wallow? I mean, that's not the path to healing. That's not the path to wholeness. That's not the path that Jesus would have you on. He's confessed these things. You've heard these things. Now you move towards letting God heal us. Do we want to get well, church, or do we want to wallow? And so I have a feeling that as I even say any of this stuff, it may not be marriage related, it could be anything, but I have a feeling there's some things that the Lord's bubbling up in our own hearts, in our own minds. Perhaps, because I know for even for myself, there's some things that I think the Lord would say, do you want to get well, Jeff, or do you want to wallow in that? You know, brokenness, woundedness in us can take many faces. It can be a physical illness that we have nothing to do with that. It's just these bodies are flawed and broken. It can be loneliness, or it can take the face of depression. We've seen in these kind of volatile couple of last years, we've seen, you know, depression and suicide and all these things have accelerated. It can be in a form of addictions, unforgiveness, sinful behavior, just trying to, you know, we're dealing with this brokenness. Instead of letting the Lord heal us, we try to fix it with other things, pornography or some sort of alcohol, drugs, whatever. We try to fill things. Our brokenness can take many faces. Fear and complacency. And what I mean by that is comfort in our brokenness. You know, my great illustration is my knee surgery. I've been needing to have my knees fixed for a long time. I mean, I finally realized when I was having trouble crawling up on the stage every Sunday, I thought, it's probably time. But quite frankly, I had to get to the point where I was less comfortable in my brokenness than I was in the recovery of an operation. We have to come to that point where we just realize, man, I want to get well. I'm tired of wallowing. I want to get well. And we come face to face with this Lord who he wants us to be well. Did you know, he doesn't want us dragging around this stuff. Don't we drag around stuff? Anybody besides me drag around stuff? We just drag around this stuff, and that can weigh us down. It can destroy our witness. It can lead to other sort of behavior in our lives, sinful behavior, destructive behavior. But man, Jesus, he came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. That's what he wants for us. He wants freedom for us. So if you would, as the praise team comes up, if you'll just bow your head with me and let me lead us through a prayer here. Father, I thank you that you are the healer of broken hearts. Father, forgive me, forgive us when it's easier to just be broken and wallow than it is to put ourselves in your hands and to trust you. God, we need you. Father, I envision this, you as this master craftsman. And you want to carve us into your masterpiece. But Father, we have to crawl up on your workbench. We have to put ourselves in your hands. We have to trust you. I think you would ask us the same question you asked this invalid man some 2,000 years ago. Do you want to get well? Jeff, do you want to get well? Help us be a courageous people, Lord. Place ourselves in your hands, because I know that you only want good things for us. Sometimes, Lord, the cleaning of the wound is painful, but it's leading towards wholeness. Thank you, Lord, that I'm blown away that you're even mindful of us, that you would even be drawn to the brokenhearted. You are a good, good Father. And we do trust you. May God be glorified in our healing, in our restoration, in our transformation. Father, if there's anyone this morning that has something deep that they just been afraid to let go, been afraid to put themselves in your hands, give them courage. Heal our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we sing our last song, the altar is open. Please don't leave this place today without knowing Jesus. If you have things, as again, there will be people at the end of the service that will pray with you about anything that's going on. Please don't leave this place today if you don't know that Jesus, that healer of hearts, because he knows you and he loves you. And I will be out at this end of the foyer and would love to meet our guests as they leave. surprised if you're right.
Giants fall and struggles break, and there is healing.
Church, I believe Jesus would say to us, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.